The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Gary Capewell, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater in the studio. Three meetings to look forward to on Tuesday. We have jumping from Market Raisin and two all-weather meetings, one on the Polytrack at Lingfield and one on the Southwell Fibre Sands. So we're going to look ahead to that now. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Right, as has become tradition on these early podcasts, we're going to do the Monday jury, and then we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing. But before we get to that, Mick, just a little bit on some of the news stories as well. And Melodic Rendezvous is set to clash with My Tent or Yours once again, and this time it will be in the Kingwell Hurdle at Wincanton next week.
I think a good move as well, rather than him carry a big weight in the Betfair Hurdle at the weekend on very testing ground. I think the doing the right thing to swerve that little scenario.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'd be a good race. I know it's the other way around at Wincanton, but I think, yeah, it'd be a good battle, won't it? Now that Melodic Rendezvous is back to his best.
Yeah, and if the ground stays as it is, Mick, that's very much in Melodic Rendezvous' favour.
Absolutely, he won't mind it at all.
Mm. So that's interesting, and obviously we see JP McManus horses go to the Kingwell as a prep usually anyway. Or, you know, it's either Kingwell or the weekend before, isn't it? So
yeah, absolutely.
We'll probably learn a little bit more about My Tent or Yours as well, where he stands in the
scheme
of things.
Exactly.
So that's something to look forward to next weekend.
Mm.
We had plenty to look at this weekend as well, Mick. So let's get stuck into the Monday jury, because much of that is reflecting on the weekend action. And the first question surrounds Welsh champion hurdle winner Safir Daru. The question is, has Paul Nicholls got another superstar on his hands in Safir Daru, Mick?
I think it's too early to say, really. I mean, he's going the right way, the horse, isn't he? But he's only five. He's won his last three. He's gone up 28 pounds in the handicap, hasn't he, over the last few weeks, and so he's got to take the next step into up the ladder, and but I just think it basically on what he's actually achieved, what he achieved at Sandown, I still think he's got a wee bit to go, but he is definitely a nice prospect and going the right way. But I think to sort of give him the superstar label at this stage in the game is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, what will happen after the weekend is he's going to have a mark somewhere in the 160, something like that, which is going to turn him into a decent staying hurdler.
Yeah.
Good staying hurdler.
Yeah.
But the impression that we get from connections is that they think he'll be better as a chaser anyway, so we might not see the best of him until he goes over.
Absolutely. He's very agile, bends his back over his hurdles, and yes, he could well be right. Doesn't look as though they're going to Cheltenham. They're going to keep him back for Aintree, by the look of things.
Mm. So that's one to watch. Maybe not a superstar just yet, but has potential.
Oh, definitely potentially. But to start of burning with a superstar label at this stage is bordering on the hysterical.
Right, we'll move on then to the second question. And that's around Oscar Whiskey. Is Scilly Isles Victor Oscar Whiskey your idea of a festival winner?
No, not really. I mean, he's got plenty of experience of Cheltenham, but he does make hard work of getting from one side of a fence to another. And he won't be able to do that the festival, and I just think at the likely price he's going to go off, I'll be looking elsewhere. I mean he's a prolific winner, isn't he? He won 16 of his 24 starts, and he's got a really good attitude, but it looks to me as though he's not going to match the heights he gained as a hurdler over fences. Just hasn't quite got himself organised yet over fences. Gets there, gets from one side to the other, but in his own time a little bit.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll see. Maybe going championship pace might just work his ideas up a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Better ground as well. Do you think that would probably...
Possibly. Could well be. Jumping out of really deep bog ground is not every horse's idea of fun, and he could be one of them.
Mm.
I mean, he's good enough. There's no doubt about that. The natural ability certainly makes him good enough. It's just his chasing technique. Yeah. But as you say, that may well improve on better ground.
Mm. And we know he likes it around Cheltenham.
Absolutely.
The fact he's going to run probably over 2.5 miles is better as well.
That's going to give him a bit more time to get organised. And they've been giving him plenty of looks at the Cheltenham fences, haven't they? So he'll go there as a player, but at the likely price, I think I'll probably be looking elsewhere.
Okay. Who impressed you at the weekend with regards to Cheltenham, Mick, then? Anything?
Yes, I was converted to Broughton yesterday.
Ah, yes.
I was a bit, you know, okay, good horse on the flat, all the rest of it, didn't know quite what he achieved. But watching him yesterday closely and his technique, and that's what impressed me so much about R. Connor last year, his technique. And this horse is right up there with it. And the faster they went, the challenges came, and his jumping didn't get worse, it got better.
Yeah.
And he'll have no problem jumping at championship speed as well. No, I think he's a real contender for the Triumph Hurdle. And he's been, I think he was shortened by William Hill for the race yesterday.
Yeah. Went into 12-1, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
John Ferguson hasn't really had the best of luck at Cheltenham so far. Do you think this
He could well be. He does look the real deal, I must say. And I wouldn't put anybody off. It's one of my favourite races, the Triumph, and he's certainly on my shortlist as it stands at the moment. The other horse I was impressed with was at Punchestown was that Wicklow Brave, who's been sort of just brought along nice and steadily by Willie. And you know, every question that they've asked him, he's answered. Ruby rides him like a good horse, and I think he's a very interesting runner, and he could well line up for the Supreme. And another horse of Willie's that, although more of a sort of, I don't know, he probably lacks a bit of class, but he does jump well. It's a horse called Sun Tiep, who was probably a fortunate winner on Saturday at Ferry House. There was a gig in Sound Horse, was clear, well, only a couple of lengths clear when it fell. But, I mean, that was the thing. That's the thing. He didn't fall, did he? He jumps for fun, this horse. He's going for the four-miler, Sun Tiep, and the extra distance will suit him, and his jumping technique is going to stand him in good stead over that long distance. So he might reward a bit of support for the four-miler. And they'd be the three who impressed me over the weekend. But I think it was a weekend basically for not many trainers were risking their better horses in the prevailing ground conditions, but there were three that really impressed me.
Okay. I was wrong about the price on Broughton, 14-1 in fact for the Triumph.
Right, okay.
Just checking that one. And Wicklow Brave 12-1 for the Supreme Novices, so a couple of prices there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a listed race he won at the weekend, but he did win it easily, and Ruby just rode him like a good horse. I mean, the Giggenstown horse, Lieutenant Colonel, was well backed, but he just brushed him aside.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
In no time at all. And, well, Willie won the Supreme last year, got my Cheltenham off to a great start with Champagne Fever. I think I might be going that way again.
Okay, then. And the thing with Wicklow Brave is, well, we don't really know how much he's got left in the tank because he's just winning.
Well, the way Ruby rides him, you don't. Because he's ridden him exactly the same in his little maiden hurdles, and he moves up to listed company and he rides him just the same, and the same result.
Yeah.
He's a hard horse to get to the bottom of.
Yeah. Could be plenty left, which would make him a real, real contender, wouldn't it?
And thankfully, he hasn't got a superstar label.
Yeah, not yet anyway. You never know, do you?
Yes, yeah.
Right, let's move on. The fourth question. With important contests this weekend, what camp are you in for the Gold Cup?
I think a lot's going to depend on the ground, isn't it? The softer the ground is going to suit Silvini Arco Conte, who was going as well as anything last year. In fact, he was going better than the winner, wasn't he? The eventual winner when he fell, and he's been trained with one race in mind. It looks like between him and Bobsworth, as it stands, I think a lot's going to depend on the ground. If it did come up really bog-like, if we've got a Gold Cup like Tide Cottage's year, which was running a real quagmire, I could see old Nakara Bow running on up that hill and grabbing second or third, something like that at a ridiculous price. But given ordinary good ground, he wouldn't be good enough, and I think it would probably be Bobsworth and Slaveniaco Conti to fight it out as it stands at the moment, but we're a long way off.
We are, yes. Nakarabos 66-1 for anybody who wants to have a cheeky little each way poke and hope that it rains.
Keep raining, yeah.
Bobsworth 2-1 market leader. Slaveniaco Conti is 7-2. Mick thinks it's between those two. I'd probably lean towards Bobsworth if I was pressed, Mick.
Cause, so would I. I liked his performance in Ireland over Christmas, and he showed his battling qualities once again there, didn't he? Grabbed it out of the fire. Didn't look like the winner four out, just like he didn't look like the winner in the Gold Cup four out. But never knows when he's beaten Bobsworth. I like horses like that.
Yeah, just keep plugging on, won't he?
Yeah. And absolutely.
Just great Gold Cup horse. When he won last year, I thought he could go on to win a couple of Gold
Cups. It'd be nice to see him go on and win a couple, if not three, wouldn't it?
Mm. Right. Give us one to shake up the Cheltenham market between now and March.
Well, I know it's been a while since Sue Smith had a winner at the festival. What was it, the good old horse Dominic Ellsworth used to ride? Used to run the black colours with the yellow disc. Well, come to me now. I was desperately trying to think of his name, and it hasn't come to me yet. But Blake Mount looks the real deal. And I think whichever race he runs in at the festival, one of the staying races, it will be. Just nailed by a short head at Doncaster last time. I've still got tears in my eyes from that. But he's a proper horse, is Blake Mount, and it'll be their best chance.
Okay, and the final question, who do you fancy for the Betfair hurdle on Saturday, Mick? Now, I know before we started recording this that Mick's onto something here.
I hope I am.
You've got one that could be a lively one at a big price for us.
The trouble is, he might be too well handicapped, Mark, and he is going to need quite a few horses to come out to get a run. He's rated 130, but I do know that quite a few of the Irish entries aren't coming over. Tony Martin's not coming. Gordon Elliott's not coming. So there's a few out, and the horse is called Elevan, and he's trained by John Joe O'Neill. He's only had three starts for John Joe. Used to be trained in Ireland by Edward O'Grady, for whom he was third in the 2010 Triumph Hurdle, had a rating of 145 in Ireland over hurdles. He had a rating of 106 on the flat. He only ran four times on the flat. Won a listed, group placed as well. And then he was off for 3 years. Don't know what ailed him for 3 years. And he's now turned up at John Joe's in the colours of J.P. McManus. He had two runs. Richie McGrath rode him at Weatherby back in December, I think it was. That was after 900 and plenty days off. I've got it written down here somewhere. 946 days off. Then he had another run somewhere about two or three weeks later. And then on the 16th of January, he went to Wincanton and he finished second of 15 in a very competitive race off this mark 130 that he's off in the Betfair hurdle. And if you look back through his profile, all of his best form is on heavy ground. Now, you've got to ask yourself, when he was running for Edward O'Grady, it was owned by Tom Barr. JP's got him now. He's never run for JP until he turned up at Weatherby for John Joe, first run for John Joe. This is only his fourth start for John Joe. To have kept him for 3 years, they must have thought, it's worthwhile persevering, and definite signs that the horse was far from finished at Wincanton last time when he was ridden by the boy Linehan, taking off the five. Just probably would need the weights to go up, a couple of the top ones to come up to get AP on board.
Yeah.
As he got 10-3 in the handicap at the moment. Could just probably going up 4 or 5 pounds for AP to ride him. But if he gets in, I think we're currently 33-1 about him, aren't
we? Yeah, 33s, yeah.
He does need a few to come out. But as I say, there's quite a few of those Irish boys aren't coming. And Melodic Rendezvous is going for the Wincanton race, the Kingwell. And one or two more might just scrape in by the skin of his teeth. Mm. And if he does, he's a player.
Okay, there you go. Then Alivant in the Betfair hurdle could be a lively one if he gets into the race at 33-1 at the moment.
Absolutely.
So you heard it here first.
And it's going to be very testing ground, and a lot of those horses aren't going to like it. He'll love it.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. A nice end to the Monday jury this week then, with a potential bit of value at the weekend. We'll move on to Tuesday's action now, and you've picked out three races for us, Mick, and you're going to go to Lingfield for them.
Yeah, we're starting with the 3 o'clock. It's a 5 furlongs handicap, and you know, quite a competitive little class five. I think only 10% is going to be quite popular.
Yeah,
back to winning form last time. Had to drop into selling company though to win, but hardly broke sweat to win that Southwell seller, and that should have given his confidence a boost. He has got plenty of solid handicap form off around this mark and higher, and should put up a bold show. Secret Millionaire, he could be very, very dangerous. Trained by Tony Carroll. Aidan Blakemore taking off £7. He very much went into the notebooks at Kempton last month. That was only his second start back after 340 days off. And he has won off higher in the past. He's got a good record here at Lingfield, and definitely one to watch if the money comes for him. But I'm going to take them both on with Moss Go, who was trained by John Best. Hayley Turner takes the ride. He's quite well treated with only 10% on that Lingfield form, where only 10% ran before he went for that Southwell seller. He gets £3. He got £3 that day, was beaten a length, and now he gets £7. So he gets, so he's £4 better off with only a length to make up. And he is better drawn here than he was at Lingfield last time. So that might just tip the scales, that £4 plus the better draw. And I think he's going to be a decent price as well. So I'm going to take Moss Go in that 3 o'clock. Very scared of Secret Millionaire, though.
Okay. Just one more to get your thoughts on, Mick. Roy's Legacy won at Lingfield last time. In fact, he seemed to like it at Lingfield. He was second the time before that and third the time before that, and not beaten very far in those two races. He has won at Lingfield off a mark of 72 in the past as well, and comes here off 63, so in form at the moment.
And Sean Harris is on the hot trainers list at the moment, isn't he? And as you say, just that he's gone up a few pounds for that last success. I know you say he's won off higher, so it shouldn't be beyond him. He's definitely another player. My slight concern is where he's pitched. He's drawn wide, isn't he?
Yeah.
On the outside, on the right wing, as it were.
Drawn 8 of 8, yeah. Always tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're with Moscow.
Moscow, yeah.
Okay. The next race we're going to look at is the 330. This is a Class 5 handicap over 2 miles, so we've got some staying handicappers in this one.
Yes, quite a few you could make some sort of case for. I'll go down them in race card order. Estiac, trained by David Evans. He's gone for his go-to man, Adam Kirby, to ride. Still unexposed on the poly track. He's won in the 70s, and he was easy to back last time. He was in good form at the end of last summer, winning at Foss Last and Bath on the turf, and then a good second on the poly track at Kempton in November. As I say, probably just needed it on last month's return. Adam Kirby back up on board, and he has gone very close on him in the past before. I only ridden him a couple of times, but went very close on one of those occasions. So I think we'll see the money coming for Eshtiak. A little bit dusty, Conor Doerr trains, Hayley Turner rides. Another one who is pretty consistent in his grade. His handicap form, though, is nothing special. He does come here on the back of winning a seller over a mile and a half here last month. Has won over this trip, so at least he comes here in good heart. While You Wait, trained by Gary Moore. He used to be trained in Ireland by Jim Bulger, who he won his maiden for. Has been second 4 times for his current yard, most recently behind La Estrella over course and distance last month, which is pretty good form in the context of this, and made La Estrella work for that. I think I just get the feeling, though, that he is going to need the first-time visor to up his handicap profile. Most of his best form is non-handicap form, Mark. Easy to get sucked in if you're not careful. This is where the mark's really put to the test in handicaps proper. And he will need that visor to do its stuff. And that leads me to my selection, which is Bram Salas, who was trained by Amanda Perrett. Jim Crowley taking the ride. She rattled up a couple last back end, October and November. She went back for the hat trick at Kempton, but well, she didn't run too badly. Finished fifth. Maybe she was just feeling the effects of the other two wins. She's had a 68-day break to freshen up. What we do know about her is that her handicap mark is very solid. I think this might not take much winning with question marks over plenty of them, and she's only a pound higher than her last winning mark as well. So I'm going to take on Bramson Lass, being revitalised after her 68 days off, and we know she likes the track, a former course and distance winner.
Okay, Bramson Lass then in the 3:30, and the final race we're going to look at is the 4:30 at Lingfield. This is a class 5 handicap over a mile and a quarter, and Paquita's a little bit interesting here, Mick. She didn't really do much over 5 furlongs, 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs. Stepped up to a mile at Southwell last time and won an up a further 2 furlongs here.
Absolutely, that was her first worthwhile bit of form, wasn't it? Went well backed as well to win that Southwell race off a mark of 50. Up 4 for that. Does need to reproduce it on Polytrack.
Yep.
Slight concern, she did disappoint on her career second start when she came here. But she was 25 to 1 that day, so I don't think we're going to read too much into that. We're not going to judge her on that. And at least she did look to be going the right way at Southwell last time. Mm-hmm. Good little 3-year-old handicap, this. RMD is going to be popular. Where's the pieces for James Tate and Luke Morris? Improved with each start, and that bettered its maiden win, I think, when second, only beaten half a length behind Sir Charlie Coons off of this mark last time. That looks decent form in the context of this, and she should be soon going one better. I just wonder, though, if she's going to run into another one here in the shape of Frederick Chopin, who was trained by Stuart Williams, Sean Levy taking the ride. It's a lightly raced improver, this horse. It improved marginally on each of his 5 starts. And although he's a pound higher for getting touched off in a 3-way go against the useful Master Paver last time, I still think, looking at him in the handicap, he's got a mark of 57. He's getting a lot of weight off the filly, Aramadi. And he really finished strong. He looked a slightly unlucky loser to me. So I'm going to take Frederick Chopin to win a fascinating 3-year-old handicap per the 4:30.
Yeah, an interesting race at 4:30, then, Mick.
Very much so.
Yeah, let's have a quick summary of your selections then, if you wouldn't mind spinning
us through
one more time.
Okay, we're going for Moscow to win the 3 o'clock, better drawn than when last time he was at Lingfield. Bramson Lass, I'm going for her to bounce back to form in a winnable 2-mile handicap at 3:30. And in a fascinating 3-year-old handicap at 4:30 over 10 furlongs, I'm going for Frederick Chopin, who's improved for each of his 5 starts, and he won't have to improve much on the last one to win this.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Okay, Mark. Thank you. Pleasure.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater in the studio. We have Jumping from Market Raisin. We have this meeting at Lingfield on the Polytrack, and there's racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell as well. So 3 meetings to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.